Shalom to all. Today's office about Batsudaf Kuf Yudalan. We are starting about the fourth line with the word Itmar. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Merim Sar Batsu Yaakov Moshe, Her Nishama Shad Haven Oliyah. I'll begin with something not related to Yerusha. Rather, it's somewhat of a continuation of the discussion that we ended off with yesterday. So Gemara tells us Itmar was stated, Kinyan, when a person is making a Kinyan, this is really specifically referring to a Kinyan Chalipin, when two persons are discussing giving something or selling something. An official Kinyan can be made by one person lifting an item of the others. This is often called Kinyan Sudr, because it's done with a Sudr or kerchief. And so the Gemara's question is, Kinyan ad Emas up until when could a person be chayzer from this kinyan? Even though the kinyan was made, there still is a certain amount of time that the person could be chayzer from it. So how long does the person have? Rabba Amar Rabba says, calls man she'yoshvin, as long as they're still sitting, the person could be chayzer. Whereas Rav Yitzchak argues and says, calls man she'oskim b'ayse inyan, as long as they're dealing with that inyan, that particular thing they're discussing, let's say it's a gift that's being given. But if they stop talking about that inyan, even though they're still sitting, they already lost their chance to be chayzer. And Rav Yitzchak continues, kavasi didimis tabra. It's more logical to say like me. Why is that? Amar Rav Yehudad said, and this is what we had ended off with yesterday, three people went in to visit a sick person, and he was a shchivmira, he was deathly ill, he was about to pass on, and he gave him instructions regarding his will, whom he wants to give certain things over to. This is called matnas shchivmira, and Rav Yehuda told us, ratzu kaisvin, ratzu asindin, that if they want, they could write down what the shchivmira said, and that's an official shtar, and then a different bezin is going to deal with distributing it, or they could do the din themselves, they could be the official executors of his will, and they could do it themselves. Here's Rav Yosef's proof, if you want to say a person's allowed to back out, as long as they're still sitting there, we should be chayshesh that the shchiv meirah is going to back out of what he just told them, and therefore they should not be able to sit and do the din. They can't be the executors of his will, and by the fact that Rav Yehuda said that they could, it must be the rabba's wrong. So Amar Vashi, Vashi said, Amar Yisrael Shmatz Kamed Rav Kahana, I said this over in front of Rav Kahana, and I asked the following question, Ul Rav Yosef Minicha, even according to Rav Yosef, is as good? Rav Yehuda doesn't fit with Rav Yosef either, because Rav Yosef's sheet itself has a problem. V'lechosh del mahadar bay, we should be chayshesh even by Rav Yosef, that the shchiv meirah is going to be chayzer, as long as they're still discussing that inyan. So what are you able to say to answer how Rav Yosef doesn't have a problem? It must be where they went from one inyan to another. In other words, the Shchiv Meirah gave them instructions of who should receive different parts of his property, and then they went on to discuss something else. And according to Rav Yosef, they're not allowed to back out anymore, and that's why these three people are allowed to do the din if they want. Hachinami, so too in Shitas Rabba, says Ravashi, we can answer the same, to kamu v'hadar yisivu, that they got up and then they sat back down. In other words, according to Rabba, the same exact thing could be answered. How is it that they're able to sit and do din? Well, it could be they were discussing this, and then the people got up to leave, and then they sat back down, and according to Rabba, the Shchiv Meirah is not allowed to go back in this situation. And so really, Rav Ashi concludes, Rav Yosef does not have a raya from Rav Yehuda, more for his shita than towards Rabba's shita. And the Gemara ends off by saying, Rav Yosef, in the following three things, Besada, Inyan, Umechza. Sada has to do with the machlekes that we had between Rav Yosef and Rabba on Yud Beis Amud Beis, regarding when a father dies and leaves over a bunch of fields as Yerusha. Does one of the brothers have more of a right to a field which is next to his field, or do all the brothers have equal time to it? That's number one that we pass like Rav Yosef in. Number two is Inyan, which is what we're discussing over here, that we pass like Rav Yosef, that as long as they're discussing that Inyan, they can be chazer from the Kenyan, but once they moved on to a different Inyan, a different topic, then they can't be chazer. And the last thing is Mechza, which literally means half. This has to do with something in the next parak, which is if a person says before he dies, my nechasim go to you, my wife, and to your children, so they get split half-half, and here too we pass like Rav Yosef, and these are actually the only three instances we pass like Rav Yosef when he argues with Rabba. The rest, we pass like Rabba. And the Gemara continues to explain the Mishnah we had said, Isha's benav chulu, that a woman does not inherit her son, but she is mirish to her son. She bequeaths her Yerusha to her son. Namely, when she dies, her son inherits her. The Gemara asks, Hasulamali, what do we need this for? Hatanali Resha, we already taught this in the Resha. Ha'ishas imay ve'ishas ishtai. That a man inherits his mother and a man inherits his wife, and he doesn't bequeath his Yerusha to them. So I repeat that same exact thing, just the other way around in the next part of the Mishnah. Why say that a wife bequeaths her Yerusha to her husband, or a mother bequeaths it to her son, but she doesn't yarshin them? That's what the previous line of the Mishnah just taught us. And the answer is, Hakamash Mon, the Mishnah is teaching us an ad chiddush, the isha as bina, dumi the isha as baila. That a woman in relation to her son is the same as a woman in relation to her husband. Ma isha as baila, ain't a bal yarsh as ishta bekever. Just like we're dealing with a man and wife. A husband does not yarshan his wife from the grave, meaning when his wife passes away and afterwards one of her relatives pass away, her husband does not get that yerusha. We had already learned this is called that the husband does not get roi kibamuchsik. He only gets something that his wife currently had when she was alive, not something which was roi to come to her. The Gemara is calling that over here bekever, that he doesn't inherit his wife in the kever. Av isha's bina, so too a woman to her son, ein haben yarsh asim in the kever. A son is not going to inherit his mother in the kever. What does that mean? Lahanchel la'achin mino av, in order to give that over to his brothers from his father. Namely, we have a mother and a son, and the son died first, and then the mother died. The yerusha from the mother doesn't go to this son's brothers that he has from a different father, as opposed to if it would have been the other way around. If his mother would have died first, he would have inherited her, and then when he dies, that yerusha goes to his brothers who share the same father, even though though they don't have the same mother. And again, that's what the Mishnah's repetition is teaching us, that if the son had predeceased his mother, so then when his mother dies, the Yerusha doesn't go through him to his brothers. Continuing to discuss Yerusha, Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Brum Shemin, Dvar Taira Midai Raisa Ha'av Yerushas Benai, a father Yarshan's his son, Ve'isha Yerushas Benai, and a woman does inherit her son. Remember, because the Pasuk says, Matois, as the Pasuk tells us, V'chol Bas Yerushas Nachla Mi Matois B'nei Yisrael. And Matois is plural. It means two Shvatim. What do we learn from here? Makish Mata Emel Mata Av. We have a comparison between the Shevet of the mother and the Shevet of the father. Ma Mata Av. Av Yerushas Benai. Just like we're dealing with the Shevet of the father, meaning from the father's side, a father's going to Yarshan his son. If his son dies without descendants, so it's going to go to the father. Af Mata Aim, so do the Shevet of the mother. Ish Yerushas Benai, a woman's going to inherit her son. However, Kotav Zavav Mral on top, Esri Rabbi Yechonel and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yechon asked Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah tell us? Who Ishas Benai, who Ishas Baila, who Acha Aim, Manchilin, Veloy Neichlin. A woman to her son, a woman to her husband, and brothers of the mother, they're Manchel and not Neichel, which means that a woman dies, her son inherits her, but she does not inherit her son when her son dies. As our Mishnah is clearly not like what you just said. So I'm letting Rabbi Yehuda respond to Rabbi Yechon, Mishnah Seinu, Eni Adam Mishana. I don't know who taught our Mishnah. There's a steerer in our Mishnah itself, so it's problematic, and so I actually don't know which Tana taught the Mishnah. This doesn't really make so much sense. Asking more, what's Rabbi Yehuda's problem? Why didn't Rabbi Yechon tell them that our Mishnah is Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav? And we had his Shita before. Doloi Darsh Matos. He doesn't darsh his Joshua Matos, so that means that the Mishnah should be him. So Gemara answers no. Let me take a Masnis and Krib Zechariah ben Katzav. We can't explain the Mishnah as Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav. Why is that? Diktani, because the Mishnah also says Ubnei Achais, that the sons of a sister are Yairish, but they're not Myrish. Meaning, when their uncle dies, their mother's brother, they inherit him, but when they die, their mother's brother doesn't inherit them. The Tana was taught in Nebrais explaining a Mishnah, Bnei Achais, Veloi Bnei Achais, that this applies to the sons of the sister, but not the daughters of the sister. Namely, this applies to nephews and not nieces. Barmina, we asked in the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, in regards to what halacha was his Brisa taught, because we know that the nieces do inherit the same way the nephews inherit. So what's the Brisa telling us, Veloi Bnei Achais? Well, Rav Sheshes had answered, Lakadim. It just means that the nephews come before the nieces. So if an uncle dies and there's nieces and nephews there, the nephews are going to get before the nieces. Now that we have this piece of the Mishnah explained, if you want to say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav, well, it doesn't fit. Why is it? Because Ha'amar, he had said previously, Echad ben v'Echad abas shavim ben echzo aim. Then when it comes to a son and a daughter inheriting their mother, they're equal, and they would split everything 50-50, and the sons don't come before the daughter, and by the same token, nieces and nephews, the nephews are not going to come before the nieces. So our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav, because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that nephews come before nieces, and Rabbi Zechariah ben Katzav holds that they're equal. And that's why Rabbi Yechanan did not give this answer to Rabbi Yehuda. And now we just explain why Rabbi Yehuda was bothered by our Mishnah, and he said, I don't know who the Tana of our Mishnah is, but Tana Tidon, what's the Tana of our Mishnah? Memanav Shach. There's an issue either which way. Idarsh Matois, if he darshens the Joshua of Matois, comparing the mother to the father, and that she would inherit her son, well then Ishanami Tirsh's Bana. A woman should be able to inherit her son, and the Mishnah says not like that. And he loidarsh Matois, if the Tana of the Mishnah does not darshen Matois, ben the Kadim Labas, Menichso Eminole. So it has the Tana know that a son comes before the daughter when they're inheriting their mother. If you're not going to darshen Matois, that means that the son and daughter should be equal when inheriting their mother, and we know the Tana of the Mishnah doesn't say that. He holds that the son comes before the daughter when inheriting their mother. So the Tana itself is problematic. So my answer is no problem. La'ilam darsh matois. Really, the Tana Mishnah does darshan matois. And therefore, he would hold that a son would inherit before a daughter or a nephew before a niece. So why is it that a mother does not inherit her son? The answer is, Roshani Hach, over here it's different. Amar Kaka, because the Pasuk tells us, V'chol bas yireshes nachla, any daughter which inherits a nachla. Now, the Pasuk didn't have to say this word yireshes. It could have just said, V'chol bas nachla. What's this word yireshes teaching us? It must be it's telling us, yireshes ve'ena mayreshes, that she inherits, but she doesn't bequeath. In other words, a daughter will inherit her parent, but when this daughter is a mother, she's not going to inherit her child. Namely, a mother doesn't inherit her child. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss halachos of Yerusha. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.